Yeah, we have noted some great men of faith in this chapter. Abel, Enoch, Noah, and Abraham. Now we come to the first mention of a woman. This is really like a Mother's Day message, okay? Because we're going to be talking about a woman of faith, Sarah. Some translations, like the NIV, translate this passage quite differently. And so let's read it first as we have it, and I'm going to show it in the NIV. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. The NIV translates it quite differently. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so they switch it where it's about Abraham, not about Sarah at all. And they do this for three reasons. First of all, the context. Abraham is the subject of verses 8 through 10, his great faith. And then he's a subject in verse 12, is also about Abraham. And so they argue that in the context, it should all be about Abraham. Second of all, they say Sarah's lack of faith when you read the Genesis account. You know, she suggested using Hagar. She's the one that brought up that horrendous recommendation. And then when she hears about it, she laughs. And they argue that it's a laugh of disbelief, that she cannot believe that that could happen. Hardly an example of faith. And then the biggest reason they argue against it is the phrase translated conceived seed is actually the word that's always and only used of a male depositing seed, the male part in the reproductive process. And so therefore it says it really doesn't mean conceive at all. But I believe the King James Version has it right. And the ESV translates it the same way. And the reason I feel like it is that is both Sarah and the pronoun right after it are in the nominative tense. Now that's good for the Greek students here to understand what I'm talking about. But if something's in the nominative, it means it's the subject of the sentence. And in none of the manuscript evidence do we ever find it in the dative, which it'd have to be for it to not be about Sarah being the subject. And to change the subject, therefore, requires an amendment of the text, where there is no evidence or support for that anywhere else. And so I think it forces us to recognize that this is talking about Sarah, and even the pronoun kind of emphasis, it's like, you're bringing up Sarah? And he means, yeah, Sarah. Sarah also had faith. She too was a model of faith. And I'm going to bring out even more reasons why I really think this is really about Sarah. And Sarah and Abraham together were people of faith who walked in faith and believed God for his promises. Otherwise, they never would have found acceptance with God. Isn't that what the context of this passage is about in the whole chapter of Hebrews 11? It's the idea that these are people who found acceptance with God and they were commended for their faith. And Sarah was a woman of faith. God recognized her as such. Otherwise, they never would have found acceptance with God, because you got to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and Sarah found favor with God. Clearly, Sarah is one who pleased the Lord, and he chose her to be the mother of the nation of Israel, that from her he would create the nation. Thus, Sarah also serves as a model for people of faith. We have much to learn from her, as well as Abraham. And so let's look at that. First lesson we learn as we look at Sarah's example of faith is faith is not always immediately evident. It is true, Sarah did suggest Hagar. It's true. If you remember the story, and for people who maybe aren't as familiar with it, they waited for years to have a child. No child ever came, and one day, Sarah suggested, Abraham, why don't you take my maidservant Hagar as a wife and have a child by her, and I'll adopt her as my own, and that way we'll finally have a child for you after all these years. Because already in chapter 11 of Genesis, and we're going to spend a lot of time in Genesis today, so turn back to Genesis chapter 11. Verse 30, from the very moment when they called Sarah and Abraham to come to the land of promise, we read Sarah, verse 30, was barren. She had no child. He's 75 years old at this time. And Sarah is without child, barren, from the day they left the land to come to the promised land. So we already know that. And years had passed, and they promised, God promised Abraham from chapter 12, at 75 years old, you're going to have a child. And I'm going to fulfill my promises through that child, and all the world's going to be blessed through that child, and that child is going to become a great nation. And yet, years go by. 11 years. He's 86. No child. He repeated it to Abraham in chapter 15. He repeated it to Abraham in chapter 17, but no child. And so, in desperation, Sarah suggested something that was considered perfectly acceptable in the culture of that day. So people get on Sarah's case about that. But Abraham agreed to it. He was very much a participant in this. Besides that, Abraham was not always a great example of faith, was he? He, even though he was given the promise that through Sarah they would have a child, he was so worried all the time that someone might kill him or Sarah, and so he had her lie about being his wife, and wherever they went, she was supposed to say she was his sister. Well, it was technically true. But that's not exactly a great example of faith on Abraham's part, is it? See, what I'm trying to bring out in this message is maybe a little something different from this chapter of faith. Faith is at times plagued with doubts and fears. Do you ever find that true in your life? We know what the scriptures say. We know what God promises. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. We believe him for our salvation. Yet at times, because of the circumstances of life, our faith is put to the test. And if I'm absolutely honest with you, and I hope you'll be honest with yourself, there's times where you question and doubt. And sometimes fear set in. And you have to remind yourself of what God's word says. You have to remind yourself of the faithfulness of God. You have to bolster your faith up a little bit. And that's true of every one of these people who are examples of faith for us. I find it so interesting as you look at the lives of the people listed in this chapter that they were not always sterling examples of faith. There was times where you look at them and say, well, yeah, but what about this? I mean, Abraham feared and lied. He went along with this Hagar thing. Yet we don't question his faith, that he's a great champion of faith. And so I think, with all fairness, sometimes we're not real fair with Sarah. Yes, yes, I know, but Sarah was rebuked for her laugh. This is no laughing matter. I had to throw that in. She laughed. And she's rebuked for it. He says, why did you laugh? Well, I understand why she laughed, don't you? It had been 13 years since Ishmael had been born. He's 13 years old. He's not even a toddler. He's a teenager. And all this time, Sarah's going to have a child.
25 years go by. They keep trying and trying and trying, and nothing happens. In fact, the text kind of indicates that they'd stopped trying. They'd given up hope. That's why she says, am I going to have pleasure again? I mean, it seems like nothing's ever happening. It's been one disappointment after another disappointment. Yes, she laughed. But we kind of understand. And the Lord called her on it. When she is with child, and the child is finally born, it's interesting, she calls him Isaac. Because I think Sarah did come to believe. I think the rebuke was taken to heart. And she realized, this was wrong of me. I shouldn't have done that. And she believed God. Otherwise, they would never even gotten together. She never would have been conceived, and never would have had the child. She did come to believe. And when the child is finally born, she kind of says, let's call him Laugh. I know I laughed when the first told the promise, but look, it was fulfilled. And isn't this a wondrous thing? Isn't this hard to imagine that God worked the impossible? And so at Genesis chapter 21, we read that that's what she did. In other words, she tries to almost undo what she did before. If one be found slain, oops, that's Deuteronomy. Genesis 21. Verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. He fulfills his word. And verse 6, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Yes, I laughed, but now I have a really great reason to laugh. God has fulfilled his promise. He's kept his word. And this is a gift from him. And let's all laugh with joy because of what God has done. Do you think she would have received the blessing if she persisted in unbelief? I don't think so. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's the whole point of the chapter. He's the one who smiles upon those who look to him in faith, and he blesses them. And the blessing that Sarah receives is a sign that she truly did come to faith and believe. And there was renewed intimacy and renewed anticipation, because this time when he told her, he says, it's going to be in a year. In 1 year, I'm going to come see, and you're going to have this child. It's going to be fulfilled. The word even here, even Sarah, indicates the writer's recognition that, yeah, you're somewhat surprised that Sarah's in this list, but she too was a woman of faith. Faith does not rule out struggle. I love that verse in the New Testament where the man comes to Jesus to have his son delivered, I think of a demoniac, and disciples weren't able to do it because of their lack of faith. And he says, don't you believe? And he says, Lord, I believe, help my what? It kind of shows, yeah, sometimes they seem to mix together. The very reason he came to Jesus because he believes Jesus can do this, but because it didn't happen right away, there's doubts creeping in, and he says, help me with my unbelief. I believe, and yet sometimes the doubts come in and affect me. What I love about this list in Hebrews 11, it's as I said already, all these people on this list, pretty much we know times in which they struggle with a lack of faith. But those things aren't on the list. He keeps pulling out examples of when they showed their faith, when they put their trust in God. It's like a picture of how God doesn't remember our failures. He forgives and he forgets them, but he takes hold of and remembers our moments of faith, Those times where we trusted him and believed and lived accordingly. And God says, I take note of those, and I'm going to reward you for those. Those are going to be in your record. And all the other things are gone. They're forgotten. I find great encouragement in that. Sarah also had faith. And God says, I noted that. It's in the list. Sarah, you're included. And you will serve as a model for Christians. In fact, Sarah is a model of faith to Christian women. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, women of faith, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are also, as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. She's a woman of faith, a model for Christian women to follow and model themselves after. In fact, this is one of my favorite verses to point out to my wife about calling, you know, your husband master or Lord. I got it real good because we played the game where you got to pick out your name for the game this week, and I put down master. So she had to call me master the whole game. Anyway, I digress. Anyway, okay. That's the first point. Faith struggles. It doesn't mean we don't have faith, but there's times where we struggle even in our faith. And we need to understand that. I think sometimes people look to godly men and women of faith and say, man, you just always believe God, you always trust God. And if we're not careful, we kind of communicate a standard nobody can live up to. We all struggle at times. And what I love about Scripture is the Bible is so good about letting people be genuine for what they really are. And we are but dust. We are pale clay. The only real hero is God. And there's times which we as believers struggle. Peter denied the Lord, put his foot in his mouth, and in our men's group, we're going through Galatians, and in Galatians, Paul had to rebuke Peter. Yeah, we struggle. But we know God will see us through. So the second point is faith overcomes insurmountable obstacles. The faith that Sarah had enabled her to overcome what was humanly impossible. Abraham was as good as dead. I mean, I had a friend of mine who married a younger woman, and she wound up pregnant, and he came to me with this shocked look to tell me about the fact that, guess what? I found out my wife is going to have a baby, and I started laughing because he's 50 years old. I can laugh. He wasn't laughing, but I could laugh. You know? Abraham is approaching 100 years old. Imagine 100 years old. He already has a teenager house. Now he's soon going to have a baby at 100 years old. How many of you guys would like to change diapers at 100 years old? He was as good as dead. He was old, stricken with age. But the real issue is Sarah. Sarah's already mentioned in chapter 11, verse 30, mentioned way back then, 25 years earlier, that she was barren. Now it indicates in the text that she's past the years of having children. She's in the menopause. It looks impossible. The years have verified her inability to have children. They kept trying for years. Nothing ever happened. Like I said, the text seems to indicate that they'd stopped. The incident with Hagar only drove it deeper into her soul that she was the problem. She was the one who's barren. Ishmael is now, as I mentioned, 13 years old, and she's still childless. Imagine how painful that was for her, particularly in that culture. And then God keeps telling Abraham, you're going to have a child by Sarah. You're going to have a child by Sarah. And I imagine Abraham told her, says, God told me again, you're going to have a child for me. What am I to do? We try, and nothing ever happens. She's frustrated, I think, at this point with Abraham. She's frustrated with God. And she can't have a child. But God works a miracle in her. And they translate conceive, see, is actually a phrase only used, I've mentioned already, of males being able to deposit seed. And so it's kind of interesting why it's worded this way. And I think what it literally is saying, Sarah was in herself was enabled to have the seed deposited in her and become, have this child. She is miraculously enabled to become the recipient, and it makes it so the emphasis comes on the seed that's deposited in her. The promised seed to Abraham, the one who is to come, who's to be the Messiah and the blessing to the whole world, the fact that he was to become a great nation, and there would be a people that come from him through whom this promised one would come. This seed that's promised to Abraham, it was promised to actually clear back in Genesis 3:15, the promised seed to come, that's going to come through Abraham, is going to be through Sarah. And so the text is emphasizing that it's the seed that she's enabled to become the recipient of, that she might be the mother of Israel. And this woman who's been barren all these years, the woman who is past the age of having children, miraculously, because of her faith and trust in God, is enabled to become a mother of a child whose descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. I mean, we keep counting the stars. And you can register to have you one of those stars named after you, because they're always finding more and more and more and more stars. We can't count them all. So shall your descendants be, Sarah. You. I promised Abraham, but the promise is carried over to you. You know, your children, they're going to be as the sand of the seashore. I strongly discourage you from trying to count how much sand is on the seashore. It's innumerable. It's uncountable. That's who your descendants shall be. I always laugh. One of the first things that showed my ignorance when I became a Christian was the infamous song, Father Abraham. Let's all stand. No, sorry. Just scare you a little bit. Wake you up. I remember singing that song. The first youth group I came from, you know, they started singing that song, Father Abraham and many sons. I thought, wow, who is this guy? He had a big family, apparently. You know, must relate to the Dokes or something. I don't know. Yeah. Then I found out as I read the Bible, he only had one of promise. He actually had more. He had Ishmael and he had other sons later on. But the point is, he couldn't have any to fulfill the promise unless God worked powerfully in his life. And God did. But I want you to go to chapter 22. Of Genesis. Genesis 22. I want you to look at how it's worded. 22, verse 17. That is blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now notice it's changed to a person. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went. It's the idea that this promised seed is the means through which the Savior of the world will come. And the last point I want to make here is God encourages our struggling faith. God encourages our struggling faith. The focus on this whole section is primarily in the text upon Sarah. In the midst of Abraham, but it was Abraham and Sarah together through whom the promises made to Abraham would be fulfilled. That's why she's included in here, but it acknowledges the way it's written that Sarah also was a person of faith. Don't think this is just about Abraham. Sarah, in faith, was one with Abraham in believing and trusting God for the fulfillment of his promise. She too left with Abraham. She too was waiting for this promised child to come. She longed for this promise to be fulfilled, and she struggled with it, but she put her faith in God that he would keep his promise to her. And I'm going to show you why I think this is really, chapter 18 of Genesis is really about and concerned with Sarah. I'm going to argue that I believe strongly that the whole point of the visit, coming over to Abraham's house for dinner, these three people, the Lord and two angels, the whole reason they did what had never happened before in the history of man, nor has it really ever happened like this since, where God came in the flesh before the incarnation to sit down and eat supper with a human being. The whole reason for that visit was primarily Sarah. Okay? Now that I made the statement, let's show my proof. Go to Genesis 17. God made a shocking statement just a short time earlier to Abraham. Verse 15. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name be. And thou wilt bless her and give her a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now, that's a shocking statement, because once again, God's repeating this promise of descendants to Abraham. And Abraham was like, I've heard this time and time again over the years. And God's saying, it's going to be through Sarah that this is going to be fulfilled. Sarah, who's been barren and childless, is going to have a child. Now, how did Abraham respond to this? Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Abraham laughed. He heard the promise. What? And literally it means he fell on his face laughing. He's laughing so hard he falls over. Now some people say, well, yeah, but Abraham, he believed. He was the laughter of faith. He was so overjoyed with this profound promise about Sarah that he laughed with confidence. No, he laughed because he thought it was absolutely ridiculous. Because look what he says. And he said in his heart. Now, it's interesting, he knows what Sarah says in her heart. God also knew what Abraham was thinking in his heart. I lost my place. Oh. Shall a child be born unto me 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Come on. That's really funny. That's good. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Now, just take Ishmael. I've already covered it, God. I took care of it with Hagar. We got Ishmael. Okay? And the reason why I think this is a proposal by Abraham to God is God actually takes it serious and says, no. No, Ishmael's not enough. Ishmael won't work. He said, and God said, no. Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. He shall. She shall. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. Why? Because you laughed. And thou wilt establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael that you asked about, I've heard you. I heard you were actually asking me to take care of Ishmael for you. Behold, I have blessed him, and he's going to become a great nation. He's going to have 12 princes, and that's where we get the Arabs. I kind of think Abraham wished he wouldn't have asked. God says, no, it's going to be through Sarah. And because you laughed, you're going to call him Isaac, which means to laugh. Because you ask, I'll make Ishmael also into a nation, and they'll become the Arabs. But then note verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah, now note this, shall bear unto thee at this time in the next year. He actually tells him, Abraham, before he ever comes to visit him, that they're going to have a child in a year. But Sarah's not there. So chapter 18 comes. And God comes down to visit them. And they treat him as great guests. And they fix everything up for him. But what's the first thing they say after dinner? Where's Sarah? That's the first thing they say after they say, agree to come to the meal. They sit down, they feed them, and they eat everything. And Abraham's standing there ready to wait on them whatever they want. Where's Sarah? They were concerned about Sarah. And he said, well, she's here. She's just inside the tent. Now, those tents were like apartments. The walls were paper thin. Okay? And she can hear what's going on. And you can imagine what happened when all of a sudden he's answering, where's Sarah? And he said, well, she's in the tent. She's like, yeah, I'm right here. Sarah? They've got a message for her. Verse 9. Let's go to chapter 18, verse 9. And they said unto her, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. In other words, he already told Abraham this earlier. This is not for Abraham. It's for Sarah. They want Sarah to hear this. Lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah, the emphasis, heard it in the tent door that was behind them. Now, before they mention her laughter, the text is very clear to indicate the reason she laughed. Because she had very legitimate reason to laugh. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, yes, this is impossible. It's almost in a ridiculous statement because it's humanly impossible. Therefore, Sarah laughed. It's making a point that, yes, it's understandable that she laughed within herself, saying, and then she says what's true. Am I waxed old? Should I have pleasure, my Lord, being old? And the Lord said unto Abraham, because the Lord knows all things, they don't see her, but they know. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I assuredly bear a child which am old? I mean, yeah, I know why she laughed, but is anything too hard for the Lord? And then it says a promise, exactly as he said to Abraham, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. The Lord understands. The Lord understands how some things sometimes seem impossible to us, and because of the circumstances of life make it hard for us to believe. And what does God do? He reiterates his promises to us. He says, yes, I know you struggle, but believe. I know that's hard and goes against everything that you see, but trust me. Believe. Have faith. Sarah was rebuked to the Lord. Why did you laugh? But he understood fully why she laughed. And God's saying, I can do what to you is impossible. He reassures her that nothing is too hard for the Lord. And he repeats the promise, and he repeats the time. And out of fear, which is obvious if when you know somebody can read your mind and know everything that you're doing and thinking, to become afraid, and she denies it, but he repeats it. And the purpose of the whole visit, I think, is to bolster Sarah's faith and says, go and join with Abraham one more time, because this time it's going to work. This time it's going to happen. And she would not have received the gift if she did not believe him and trust him and act upon it. And he's a rewarder of those who believe in him and diligently seek him. Chapter 11, verse 6 of Hebrews. She took the rebuke to heart, and the proof is in the fulfillment and the testimony she gives in chapter 21. The emphasis in this whole text is upon the reliability of God. God is faithful to perform what he promises. Back to chapter 11 of Hebrews 12. Therefore, sprang there even of him, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is of the seashore innumerable. Why? Because earlier she judged him to be faithful who had promised. God keeps his word. God speaks, and it happens. Nothing is too hard for God. In Isaiah 51:2, we read, look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Do you struggle with faith? Does anyone here struggle at times with faith? Three people. This is for you. Okay? Okay. It's a lot more of us. Take note. God encourages us. God sends encouragements your way that kind of remind you of things and to reassure. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm struggling with something and I'll turn on the radio and every preacher is talking about the very thing I'm struggling with. You know? You go and read your devotions. It keeps coming up. God is encouraging you. He sends someone your way and says something that someone else just said to you. And all of a sudden you feel like God is speaking to you. He encourages us. He bolsters up our faith. He reminds yourself that he is faithful who promised and nothing is impossible to him. You've been praying for your kids and your grandkids to be saved. And sometimes you're wondering, is God ever going to break through and answer that prayer? And they remind you, keep believing, keep trusting, because some answers to prayer don't happen until after you're gone. God answers. You're struggling physically, and it gets hard. And there's coming a time where there'll be no more sickness, no more heartache. And God will take care of you. You wonder how you're going to get through, and yet God will see you through. God is faithful. And yet those doubts come flooding in, and Satan attacks you with fears and insecurities, and then you have to get down on your knees and cry out to God and read the scripture, and God builds your faith back up. Our faith is not always perfect. But even if it's as small as a mustard seed, it can accomplish much. The important thing is not the perfection of our faith, but the object of our faith is in a God who is faithful, a God who keeps his word. And we must believe that he will do what he promised. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Nothing is impossible for him. Perhaps his promises seem slow in fulfillment. Keep on trusting in him and walking through life. Sometimes even the most faithful believers struggle with doubt and fear, but through faith they persevere. God visits us with encouragements. He sends people along beside us. He places us under a tree and gives us rest. He brings an assistant like he did with Elijah to come alongside him. He sends a Joshua to a man like Moses. He sends friends to visit Paul in prison like Luke. He encourages his servants. So we persevere in the faith until we receive the fulfillment of what we hope for. And the day of fulfillment, my friends, is close. And our hopes will be realized one day. And blessed is he or she who perseveres to the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the precious promise of your word. And may we get encouragement from people like Sarah, who, despite overwhelming, discouraging circumstances, kept putting her trust back in you, believing your promise. And because of that, you blessed her with that child. And from the child, the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham was realized. Help us to be faithful. Help us when we struggle with doubt. May we note your encouragements and know they come from you, and rest and rely upon you. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen.